Hebrews 13, and we are in the final chapter of this wonderful letter. Some believe that it was written by the Apostle Paul. Some believe that it was recent scholars say, well, it's not stylistically like Paul's writing, so it could be Apollos or Barnabas, but we know that the preacher here is preaching, and there's 13 chapters, and he's giving really what some would say a sermon, and there's a lot of great truth, and there's seems to be not enough time to really dive into it, but it is just a rich book, a rich letter that the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish believers who have accepted Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their Lord, and as they've done so, they are looking with anticipation for his return, but then Jesus didn't return right away, and some were being persecuted for their faith, and they were facing trials and tribulation, and some were really beginning to doubt, well, is Jesus really who he says he is? And the first chapter really reveals, yes, he is the Son of God, and he is superior. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than Joshua. He is greater than any earthly high priest like Aaron. In fact, he is our great high priest. And now we are winding our way through to the final chapter. It's sort of, some have said it's like an annex. And we've got some good truth here, some practical principles that we all can apply to our life. As we look at the first eight verses or so, I would probably sum them up in that phrase, let love strengthen your relationship. We get that out of verse 1, don't we? In Peter wrote this is the Living Bible translation, now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts. John Walton and Mark Strauss and Ted Cooper wrote this. Hebrews is one of the most powerful presentations of the gospel ever written, a bridge between the Old Testament world of promise with its covenants, priests, and sacrifices, and the New Testament world of fulfillment, where Christ functions as the high priest of a new and greater covenant with God. Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is our one mediator whose once and for all sacrifice paid for sins, completed our humanity, and opened the way to God. Wow. So let's look at these first eight verses here, beginning with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God add his blessing to this portion of his holy word. Join me in prayer. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will be our teacher. You will be our counselor. yes, our comforter, but you will be the one who will guide us into truth from your word, that you will just allow these verses, as you've intended, to just jump off the page, kind of find its way in the soil of our heart. And oh God, that you will do a transformation in our lives, that you will conform us into the image of your beloved Son, our great high priest, Jesus Christ. So Lord, come and have your way. Capture our attention. Focus our thoughts. Open up our ears that we will hear from you. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. One commentator said, let brother love continue. In other words, because we have come to that place in our life where we know Christ as our Savior and Lord, guess what happens? We become a family. A family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know when you talk about family, it's unique. It's interesting. Some relatives you may not have seen for a while, and you kind of like that. Well, let's be honest. And there are some that you haven't seen for a while, and you really miss them. But we're family with all our quirkiness, with all our coolness, with all our nerdiness, with all our, we're family. And when you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in, takes up residency in our life. Old is gone, hallelujah, new is come, and we become part of a heavenly family. Jesus says, as many as received him, he gave them the right to become what? Children of God. So we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I like that. In fact, I enjoy that. I look forward to every Sunday because we are family. Do you come with that anticipation? Hey, I get to go to the house of the Lord today because I get to see my family. I get to see my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to walk with them. I get to encourage them. I get to pray for them. They get to pray for me. They get to encourage me. And I, because I'm a child of the King, I can let brotherly love continue. The writer of Hebrews is telling these Jewish believers, hey, folks, let your love for one another in the family of God continue. Paul told that to the Romans. He said, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Again, another translation of that 1 Peter 1:22 says, since by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves for sincere love of the believers, see that you love one another from the heart, always unselfishly seeking the best for one another. Wow. So we get to come celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is the lamb and the lion. He's broken the chains of sin that binds us. He set the captive free. He creates in us that desire for righteousness, that desire for righteous living. The old is gone, the new has come. What a beautiful, wonderful Savior. And then he does something more. He gives us that ability to love one another in all our quirkiness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? That I can look at you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and say, because of Christ Jesus, I love you. I love you. Man, I love you. Hallelujah. I love you. because you're my brother and sister in Christ. It's not based on what you've done this past week. It's not based on, well, I took a half a cup of coffee, didn't finish it all, and left it somewhere and forgot where I put it. It's not based on my performance or my lack of performance. It's not based on my talent or my lack of talent. It's not based on what I've accomplished this past week. Well, you know, you got to do the dishes 3 times out of 7. It's not based on that. It's based on Jesus Christ and his love for you and his love for me. It's based on that. It's based on him, his love for you, his love for me. It's his love that strengthens our relationships. His love. And we see in this passage how God's love, Christ's love, can continue. We notice that in several ways. And we'll get back to Jesus in a minute. But we are to let love strengthen our relationships, first of all, through hospitality. Verse 2, notice that. It says, Do not neglect to show hospitality to what? To strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we are to show hospitality to strangers, to be loving toward strangers, those whom we meet maybe for the very first time. We're to be loving toward them because we might be entertaining angels. Have you ever thought that? He says, well, now, Pastor Ted, you're getting kind of weird. You know, I don't know if God really sends his angels on earth today or not and shows up. I don't know either, but I know there have been times when people in my family have been met in a supernatural way, and it was amazing to them. I remember my parents were driving to from Kissimmee. They were older in their age, and so, you know, they had that which way are we going kind of thing, but this was before phones, and they probably wouldn't be able to find the maps on the phone to find out where they were going. And they were driving to visit us, and their car broke down in the middle of Florida, in the middle of nowhere. And they were able to pull over on the side of the road, and they didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, they looked up, and there was someone there that was able to help them and fix their car to get it going. And once they got it started, they looked again, and that person was gone. Now, was that an angel? They think so. I don't know. I wasn't there. I remember pastoring in Brandon Alliance Church years ago. First ministry that I was involved in as a senior pastor was filled with all the burden of the ministry and all the labor of the ministry and just really crying out to God at the church, a little church, converted racquetball courts. I was there, and this gentleman came in, and he looked kind of gruff and rough, but he was burly and, you know, kind and gentle and just came maybe for a handout, I thought, but didn't really ask for anything. He just said, I'm here to encourage you. And then he left. And I ran out and said, oh, I should take that guy for coffee. So I ran out the building, ran around the parking lot, couldn't find him, looked down the street, see if he was walking, wasn't walking, couldn't find him. I don't know if he was hiding underneath the church or what. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But we do know from the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, that account where 3 men show up at Abraham's doorstep and begin to tell him something amazing. And he recognizes it was the Lord. But what does he do? He begins to prepare a meal for them. He begins to show them hospitality. He begins to show them love. He begins to entertain them and say, hey, welcome into my home. Let me treat you as honored guests. And then he realizes it was the Lord Most High. And he has a great conversation with God, doesn't he? We see that again not only with Gideon, not only with Lot, but we also see it with an interesting character in Judges chapter 13, Manoah. Manoah and his wife, they were parents of Samson. Now, before we get on this trail, well, Samson, you know, he wasn't that great of a guy. Whoa, but listen, what happened? God shows up, an angel of the Lord is sent to Manoah's wife and tells Manoah's wife that she is going to have a child and he is going to be a ruler and a leader, but he must abide by a strict Nazarite diet, so to speak, but he's going to be used of God in a mighty way. And so Manoah's wife thinks, wow, this is something. This man shows up, man of God, and I got to tell my husband about it. So she goes and tells Manoah. Manoah says, well, he cries out. He says, well, Lord, if it really was some man of God, let that man show up again. I want to see that man again. So the man shows up again and tells him the same thing. And Manoah's like, oh, let me show you hospitality. Have a meal with us so I can really know. Again, he wants to enter into a relationship. He wants to open up and invite them and show love and concern. And so they prepare a meal, and the man says, I'm not going to partake, but build it and offer it to the Lord as a sacrifice. And so they build this altar to the Lord, and they offer it as a sacrifice, and the fire comes down. And as the fire comes down and so forth, the angel of the Lord ascends to heaven in the fire. And Manoah is filled with fear, because in the Old Testament, any time an angel of the Lord showed up, guess what? Party was over, life's over, you're done. And Manoah says, oh man, we've seen the Lord, and I'm, you know, and Manoah's wife says, sometimes ladies do that. They come along and they give a good word, yes, husbands, they give a good word, yes, husbands, they give a good word that says, it's okay. If the Lord wanted to wipe us out, he would have done so already, right? And so Manoah, the fear subsided, but they recognized it was an angel of the Lord. We're to show hospitality. The writer here is telling these Hebrew believers, show hospitality to strangers, because it might be an angel of the Lord that's coming along to encourage you, to strengthen you in your walk with God, because some have entertained angels unaware. And then he says, the next verse in verse 3, he says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, than those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. He moves on. So hospitality to strangers, yes, but also show hospitality to those who are in prison. Recall that even in the New Testament day, those who were arrested, some of them were arrested for their faith in Christ. They were imprisoned because they believed in Jesus Christ, and they were put in prison. Paul was known as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a catchphrase to put under your business card. No, it was who he was. He was actually a prisoner who was arrested for his faith in Christ and put in prison, and God used him in miraculous ways to bring salvation to those prisoners. We think of the Philippian jailer even. And God used them. And he says here, the writer says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember those who are in prison as if you were suffering with them, as if you were enduring that imprisonment with them, as if you were accused to be a prisoner. Some of the believers were having a hard time even visiting prisoners because they would be thought of as the Roman authorities. Oh, you're visiting this prisoner, therefore you are guilty, just like this prisoner. Don't we do that? Do we do that in our society? If someone is arrested or thrown in prison, yes, we are ashamed. Yes, we hurt. But then if we're friends of those who have loved ones who have been arrested in prison, do we disassociate with them? Do we distance ourselves with them? Do we stop carrying the burden for them? The writer here of Hebrews says, remember those who are in prison. Remember those who are in prison. There was a politician. Oh, I said that word. I'm sorry. There was a politician back in the day. He was the right-hand advisor to one of our presidents. Something happened that was terrible back in the day, and they came knocking on his door, and he confessed that he had obstructed justice. He was convicted, and he served maybe not as long as some wanted him to serve in prison, but he served about 8 or 9 months in prison and was released. But he found Christ, and he began a ministry because as he was a prisoner in the prison, he saw how the prisoners were forgotten and neglected. And he began a ministry called Prison Fellowship. And he started reaching out to prisoners to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And of course, you know his name is Chuck Colson. And instead of being known as the hatchet man for President Nixon, he was known as really the ambassador representative for those in prison, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And many came to know the Lord through his ministry. And he passed away in 2012, but the ministry is still going on and going strong. It's the largest nonprofit ministry that is ministering to prisoners, that they receive the gospel, but also that they receive really justice because of the compassion and the burden that God birthed into Chuck Colson. The writer here, one commentator says, turns his attention to prisoners. Guests may come unbidden, but prisoners must be actively sought out. Some people withheld help from prisoners for fear of suffering a similar punishment. But Christians should have compassion on those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. There is something of the same thought that Paul gives here. Believers should feel so much for their friends in prison and for those who are mistreated that they become one with them. Compassion is an essential part of Christian living. May the Lord help us to move in this area of showing not only just empathy, but real heart, prayerful love and concern. Strengthen love in your relationships through hospitality to those who are strangers, yes, and to those who are maybe forgotten and mistreated and those who are in prison. But that's just the beginning. We need to strengthen our relationships with Christ's love through, yes, marriage. Marriage. Oh, you're not going to mention that this morning. Oh, it's right there in verse 4. Notice it says, let marriage be held in honor. Let marriage be held in honor among all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Wow. Let marriage be honored. John Piper did a whole sermon on verse 4. Wish I had time to preach his sermon to you, but you can find it online. But this is what he said. He says, so when Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, we should hear the ring of preciousness. The Bible is telling us this morning, let marriage always be thought of as precious. Let it be treasured like gold and silver and rare jewels. Let it be revered and respected like the noblest, most virtuous person you have ever known. The marriage bed, the writer of Hebrews says, needs to be undefiled. In other words, it needs to be held in high esteem. It needs to be pure, only reserved for those who are married. It's not to be taken advantage of or taken for granted, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. They were living in a Roman culture, these Jewish believers, that anything goes. And yet the writer is saying, no, marriage is a higher standard. It needs to be honored. God wants his love to be demonstrated in all your relationships. And it needs to be strengthened, yes, to strangers. It needs to be strengthened to the forgotten. But it also needs to be strengthened in your marriage, if you are married. Because God will judge those who are sexually immoral and adulterous. So Piper goes on and he says, and so when I see the end of verse 4, God will judge the immoral and the adulterous, that is, God will judge those who defile the marriage bed, God will judge those who dishonor marriage. When I hear that warning, I don't hear a trigger-happy God. I don't hear a quick-tempered God just waiting to zap a fornicator or an adulterer. What I hear is the sober, truthful reinforcement of love for people. God loves it when we love Christians, and he loves it when we love strangers, and he loves it when we love prisoners, and he loves it when we don't love money but trust him for our needs, and he loves it when we honor marriage. Why? Because love is good for Christians, and love is good for strangers, and love is good for prisoners, and not loving money is good for our souls, and honoring marriage is good for us and for our society. And therefore, God would be unloving if he did not judge those who demean marriage and defile it and cheapen it and ridicule it and treat it with contempt, says John Piper. Honor. It's honoring. The world says, anything goes. God says, no. Let love, my love in you, strengthen your relationships in marriage by keeping it honorable. There's a lot there. But the Lord goes on. The writer writes on. He says, then we need to let love strengthen our relationships through contentment. In verse 5, it says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, oh, this is great. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, we are to keep our life free from the love of money, because that will captivate our soul, that will take over our soul, that will take over our drive, that will take over our motivation, that will rob us of our peace. When we pursue money, we'll be filled with greed, we'll be filled with selfishness, we'll be in pursuit of that ever unending desire for happiness, in the sense of, if I only own that, or if I only reach this pinnacle in my wealth, then I will be happy. But then we reach that and we're not happy. We need to learn to be content. Contentment is being satisfied, at rest, at peace with what God has. For me personally, that means when I walk in a music store and I see all those wonderful guitars hanging on the walls, and they're all saying to me, take me home, take me home, take me home, take me home, take me home. And as I look up, I see I have a ring on my finger. I said, what will my wife say? What will my wife say? Oh, she'll understand. She'll understand. She'll understand. The Holy Spirit will come into my life and say, be content. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The Lord has blessed us. He has blessed you more than you could ever think or imagine. Well, Pastor, I haven't won the lottery. It may not be God's will for you to win the lottery. But it may be God's will for you to say, today, Lord, I'm just going to thank you for the blessings that you have given me. And start one by one. Lord, I thank you. I've got a roof over my head. Lord, I thank you that I've got one more than one exchange of clothes on my body, that I have clothes on my body. Lord, I thank you that I have a pair of shoes, more than one pair of shoes on my feet. Lord, I thank you that I have a family who loves me. Lord, I thank you that I have the family of God who loves me. Do you know that? We need to do a better job of that. Lord, I thank you that I have a car. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed me to have the pleasure of enjoying a cup of coffee. Lord, I thank you that I can have food. Lord, I thank you that I have relatives. Lord, I thank you that I have more than one guitar, and I can only play one at a time. I haven't learned playing two at a time. Lord, I thank you for the gift of song. You put a new song in my heart. Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, for your word, your holy word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that speaks to me every day. Words of love, words of affirmation, words of encouragement, and so on. We need to be thankful. And thankfulness brings an avenue that allows contentment to be in control, pushes down that desire of things. God gives us contentment. And then there's three real truths here in the final verses. He says, we need to be content because he says in verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Love can strengthen our relationships because of Christ's presence. Jesus says, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor turn my back on you. I'm there. If you are my child, guess what? Here's the good news. Jesus is with you everywhere you go. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Jesus is with you everywhere you go. So when you go to Walmart and you can't find anything because they're changing everything around, Jesus is with you and you're frustrated and you're going to lose your sanctification because you can't find the Q-tips. Where are the Q-tips? Oh, I don't know. They were over here. They're not there now. Where are they now? They're not over here. Are they over by the tires? Where the tires go? I don't know where they went. And you are lost. And you can cry out, Lord, you know I'm lost. And he goes, you definitely are. Help me to be found. I will. Calm down. Right? And he'll guide you and lead you and you'll find the Q-tips and it's not that big of a deal. But he says you can be content because of his presence. You can allow his love to shine through you in all your relationships because Jesus is with you. Amen. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he goes on in verse 6, so we can confidently say then what? The Lord has abandoned me. Can we say that? The Lord has forgotten me. Oh, the Lord's out to get me. No, we say the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. The Lord is my helper. He is my shield. He is my champion. He is my rock. He is my fortress. I'm clothed with the full armor of God. Therefore, what will man do to me? I am his kid. I'm his child. Satan, bring it on, because I am clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And the victory that I have is not my own, but it's Jesus, 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 the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the champion that we've sung about, the Lion and the Lamb. And therefore, I can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Wow, because of Christ's presence, his love flows through me, and that can be demonstrated everywhere I go. Allow his love to shine through you in the frustrating moments of life. Also, we can let love strengthen our relationships because of Christian leaders. In verse 7, He talks about that. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And that's a real heartache, because of late we have seen prominent Christian leaders who have walked with Jesus in this area of purity and holiness and fixing their eyes on Christ. And yet we've discovered that some of them have fallen, some of them have failed. And therefore, we don't want anything to do with them anymore. It's like the prisoner who gets accused of a crime and is locked away. Somehow we shoot our wounded. Somehow we forget the mistreated. Somehow we don't forgive one another. We don't forgive our leaders. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us. There is no one righteous, no, not one. There is no one righteous, no, not one. So all of us stand in that place of brokenness. All of us stand in that place of needing a Savior. All of us. And we need to demonstrate the love of Christ, who knew no sin, became our sin, and died on the cross for us so that we could be saved, rescued, redeemed, put back together, healed, made new, forgiven, cleansed, renewed. Jesus. And there are some leaders who do seek the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and look to Christ and to the best of their ability walk in the Spirit. And they've inspired us to keep walking in the Spirit. They've inspired us to keep following Christ no matter what. They keep following Christ no matter the cost. And we can look to them. And it might be a mom. It might be a dad. It might be a grandpa. It might be a missionary. It might be a former pastor. It might be a television evangelist. It might be. And we need to remember them an example as they have walked with Christ, therefore I can walk with Christ. As they have trusted Christ, therefore I can trust Christ. As we read about the ones who've gone before us in Hebrews 11, the hall of fame, of faith, so to speak, we can learn from their stories and therefore improve, right? As a child of God, you want to do that for your kids, for your grandkids. You don't want them to go through the same mistakes that you've gone through, right? So you tell them a story. You give them an example to live by. The Lord has done that through his word, through these examples. So we can trust him and his Spirit as he moves. And we need to consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And when our leaders are weak, we need to come alongside them and uphold their arms and show Christ-like love. Because Christ is the only one we can stand upon. And he's the only one we need to stand upon. Then finally, let love strengthen your relationships because of who Jesus is. Yes. You want to memorize a verse? Memorize this one, verse 8. What does it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a lot there, but it's true. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever because of who he is. He was there at the creation of the world. He was there, I believe, with Abraham. He was there dying on the cross for you and for me. He was there just right outside that empty tomb when he met Mary and the ladies. He was there. He was there when he appeared to the over 500 witnesses before he ascended. He was there when he ascended into glory, and the angel said, this same Jesus will return likewise. Wow, I'm looking forward to that. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. So how are your relationships? What is God saying to you? What is he speaking from his word to your heart this morning? How is my love for Christ reflected in all my relationships, in the church, with my family, outside the church, with strangers, in the workplace, in my neighborhood? Have I been faithful in my relationship with others, my marriage, my friends? Am I content in what God has provided for me? Do I understand the magnitude of Christ's example and who he is? The beautiful truth this morning is that God loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So he gives us that promise in 1 John 1:9 that says, if anyone confesses his sin, right? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does it through the shed blood of Christ. He's able to forgive us and clean us up so that we are made new again and we can go on to serve him and sin no more. So if there have been some trips in your life where you've fallen, made mistakes, hurt others, have sinned, maybe the Lord is saying, let my love in you be the power source. Let my love in you strengthen your relationships with strangers, those in prison, the forgotten, the mistreated, those in your family, in the marriage relationship, those because of Christ's presence, I'm with you always. Because of the examples of leaders and because of who I am. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Lord, it's so easy for us to get our eyes off of you, so easy to forget that you are with us always. You never leave us nor forsake us when we go through this crazy life. It's amazing, Lord, that you love us so much. Your word says that you love us with an everlasting love. We can't even comprehend that, but we are so grateful and thankful for it. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the love that you give us when we are hurting. Thank you for the love that you give us when we are selfish and sinful. Thank you for the love that you give us, Lord, when we are overworked or stressed out of our mind. Thank you for the love that you give us when we are joyfully delighting in you. Thank you for your love. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us as a body of believers, as the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to let brotherly love continue. Would you do that, O Holy Spirit, today, in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our community? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. This we pray in his glorious, loving name.